Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready to bet the Open is Ryan Noonan, sports betting manager at Betsports Golf. You can follow him on Twitter at RYNoonan, and you can follow me on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Ryan, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Rob. It's like I said at the top before we came in here to the studio that it is Major Championship Golf Week. That means you and I are going to spend a half an hour together this week and put together a card of winners. We've had a nice little run so far, and it's been a great major season. Again, obviously, we start with Augusta every year, but I think Southern Hills was a fantastic event. Great course. Brookline Country Club in Boston was great. And then you, to top it off, the 150th Open Championship at St. Andrews. It is just a great golf season. And excited to talk shop with you as always.
Yes. And before we get into all of this, I actually have a golf story to share. So this past weekend, I celebrated my birthday, and I've also got an 8-month-old son. So getting outside to golf isn't something that I get very often, because 5 hours isn't something you get as a new dad very often. But my wife's like, cool, go ahead and golf. So I get to the first tee, and I got like a 7:45 a.m. tee time, and I'm paired with three random people. I don't know any of them. And I step up to the first tee, and one of the guys goes, are you Rob Cressy that hosts the Sharp 600 podcast? I'm like, yes, I am. He's like, dude, I love your podcast. I've been listening for years. You make me so much money. And last year was the first year I had a winning football season. I was like, my man, say hello to my new best friend. Shout out to my man, Bo. He's not listening now because he only listens during football season. But Ryan, you know this as someone who creates podcasts and content for a living where people follow what you do. I never expected any point to go out in the world and to someone be like, I listen to your podcast. For it to happen on the golf course, it felt oh so good. Have you ever had an experience like this? What are your thoughts?
No, that's amazing. I first of all, well, you're down in Florida, so you'll have golf during the football season. So, like, it sounds like Mo owes you a round. So if the wife can make an arrangement for you, allow you to get another 5 hours stay out there, I think you've put more than a round's worth of change into Mo's pocket. So I don't want to speak for him, but it seems like that'd be the right thing for him to do. But yeah, that's awesome and very cool and well-deserved. I'm happy for you. That's awesome.
So it gets even better. Naturally, we have an incredible round together. He buys me a beer. We ended up becoming friends. He already texted me to see if I want to go golfing again this week, which I can't. But I was like, this is incredible. And we talked about sports betting and sort of how he's doing things. And he's been using a variety of sources. We won't get into all of that, but it just felt good to talk with a Sharp 600 listener. So one thing that would actually really help us that I would love, if you're someone who's listened to this podcast for a while, whether you've enjoyed Ryan being on during major season or anything during football season, drop us a rating and review on iTunes and let us know how long you've been listening, what you think about this, what you like, what you don't like. Doesn't matter. I just want to hear more from you because I was just excited to meet somebody in the wild that gets down like we get down.
Love it. And people don't understand, like, you know, you hear that ask on a lot of podcasts, but it really does help. You know, a lot of these, this is free content, but it does help us pay the bills a lot. So Rob and the team at Covers deserves your attention. Give him a little rate and review. And again, let him know if he's ever helped you make money. It's a good feeling. We obviously do this for ourselves. It's a labor of love at times. But it's obviously good to hear that we've helped people along the way. It is definitely my favorite part with, you know, folks in our Discord that hit us up when we have a great week or, you know, we've been killing the drafts over the last handful of months and whatnot. Like when you see people sharing winners based off of intel that you've given them, there just isn't a better feeling in the world than which you and I call home.
And Ryan, one of the reasons why you've been on for every single major this year is exactly that. Winners. We have had a very successful run, and I think it's been very formulaic because you and I have continued to go to the well with a same variety of golfers. It doesn't mean we're not sprinkling new guys because we do on every single major. But once again, Will Zalatoris treated us very well, and he's someone that I'm going to continue going to the well, but I do have a lesson learned from the U.S. Open about Will Zalatoris. And you know what that is? I lost a bet on Will Zalatoris during the U.S. Open. And how is that possible? Because I had him in a matchup versus Matthew Fitzpatrick. I'm sitting there, opening round, boom, Will Zalatoris season, looking good, Matthew Fitzpatrick, nothing. And what did I learn from this? You know what? Sometimes you just chalk it up to the game that the guy that finishes second, you're in a matchup versus the guy that finishes first.
Yeah, they both ran so hot, and for Will to, again, taste the smoke on a Sunday and not seal the deal is painful. I don't think that there's anything to, like, the kid can't close or anything like that. It just, again, he's been part of other people playing great golf. JT at Southern Hills, the Fitzpatrick stuff down the stretch, obviously the shot on 18 from the sand, everyone will remember, was, you know, I think will go down as the shot from that tournament. When you get that little 10-second glimpse of, you know, Brookline and Matthew Fitzpatrick, you'll see that shot and him hanging out with his caddy on the 18th. And yeah, so like, we'll go back to the well on Zalatoris because the kid is wired for major championship golf, tough tracks, tough fields. And yeah, we're going to continue to go back to the recipe that's worked for us.
And he's made shots to stay in contention. So I don't see him as the, oh, he shrinks in the big moment, because his MO is actually the complete opposite. Because if we sit there, he's had to sink putts in order to keep things going. So let's start with this. So we're at the old course at St. Andrews, and conditions. Anytime we look at the Open, the British Open for other people, it's about conditions, and conditions actually look like they're going to be pretty good. Wind does not look like it is going to be as treacherous as previous years. And for context, Ryan, the last 2 years, the winner of this tournament, 15 under. So there's a very good chance we're going to see a lot of scoring. How does that factor into who you're going to be playing? Because is everyone in the field have the capability of shooting 15 under? I don't believe so.
No, that's a good point. It is interesting. I mean, we have this with all golf that we have here, coastal golf, mostly in Europe, because we don't have your standard Parkland tree line type of defense. The only defense for the course is the wind. Because if they were to put trees and wind in these situations, or a ton of water on the course, there's really only water on the first and the 18th, because it's literally like you have a bunch of shared fairways and shared greens here, like these massive, massive green complexes. So yeah, you don't have, not everyone in the field can get into a birdie contest. This place is going to play firm and fast, Rob. I'm worried if we don't have wind into the 20s, sustained winds into the 20s with gusts into the 30s, because again, we haven't seen this place since 2015, and this has probably been a thought every year, but everyone's worried that they're going to break St. Andrews. And at a certain point, like, it might happen. Again, what's happened from a technology standpoint over the last 5 years with the drivers and the balls, just the length in general, there are a lot of drivable par fours here if this place is going to be having 30-yard rollout. So it definitely, I think, impacts some of these guys. I think, I know we look back and we've seen the Zach Johnsons of the world win here before. Again, a guy that's not your prototypical bomb and gouge guy, but can manage fine fairways, stick it close, and make putts. There aren't a ton of guys that are going to be driving these greens, but there are a handful. And if they break this course, it's going to get ugly for the RNA, who definitely wants to protect, obviously, you know, the aura of St. Andrews and all these things. So the top of the board is what we typically see win here. I would say from an outright standpoint, you know, guys from the, I would say 50-1 and shorter are kind of the ways we would go. But we have a lot of our guys that we typically go to the well on here, and I think those are going to be the guys for us again this week.
All right, so let's go to the top of the board. And right now, Rory McIlroy is the favorite, and he's sitting there plus 900 at DraftKings, plus 225 top five, plus 100 top 10. I saw that, and I was like, no, thank you. I want no part in this little tiny thing, because, Ryan, one of the things that we've talked about in past majors is the margin of victory or defeat in these top 10s is plus 100 is virtually nothing there for him to finish 11th there. Here's of note for Rory. In 2010, he shot a 9 under 63 at St. Andrews. Top 10 in each of the three majors this season. Top 20 in 7 straight. So you see that and you're like, this looks like a pretty good recipe for success. And coming in second right now is Xander, coming off back-to-back wins, hottest golfer on tour, does not have a major win yet, and he's making his debut here, as is Jon Rahm. And I'm curious, how much stock do you put into has played here versus hasn't? Because Rory shooting a 9-under versus Xander never playing here, those are two completely different narratives.
Yeah, not a ton, to be honest. I think that obviously if we have experience, I think it may be a tiebreaker, but it's not something that I want to lean on just because, again, the experience in itself, and then when something like this, that a course that pops up in the Rota every 7-8 years, it's such a small sample, right? Even if it's literally a course you play every year, and the grand scheme of things, if you play that course every year for 5 straight years, you actually only have 20 data points, which would be statistically noisy to actually make a strong standpoint to be like, oh no, there's something to it. Now, again, if we had a guy that continued to put in 5 straight top, you know, tens at an event, and you like him for other reasons too, that would make sense. But when we're looking at these things that are like, this is 2015, like guys are, their games are so different. We know Rory wasn't able to make it in 2015 because he was nursing an ankle injury, couldn't defend his title, but it's a tiebreaker in a certain setting, probably more so, Rob, in like a normal tour event. From a major where we just don't see it all that often, it's really just kind of a, you know, more of a talking point than anything else.
So the main talking point of this tournament is the return of Tiger Woods. And he's called this his favorite course in the world. One here in 2000, one here again, I believe in 2005. Has not played much golf this year. I believe only 7 rounds of competitive golf. His health, still a concern. If I look at Tiger, the only thing I would even consider is to make or miss the cut, minus 165 to make the cut. What are your thoughts on Tiger this week?
Yeah, so this is an instance where, you know, he hasn't played a lot of tour golf, but in the last couple of months, last month in particular, he's played actually a fairly good amount of golf. And I think getting himself ready, skipping Brookline and the U.S. Open to get himself ready here, because he knew, like, even when he was coming back at the Masters, if you've heard his pressers this week, like, he really just wanted to be back for this week. And, you know, the putting was a problem at Augusta. But again, when I think of kind of even the last couple of years when he's been playing, his short game and his putting has kind of been what's carried him. So this is a spot where I don't mind leaning on a make the cut. What's interesting here too, Rob, is we often have top 65 in ties. This week we got top 70 in ties. And then we also have kind of the bottom of the field isn't quite like Augusta, where we can really just kind of instantly cross off 30, 35 names. It's a little bit like that with some of the past champions and some of the amateurs here. So again, when I think of cut makers, top 40 bets, I'm a little bit more comfortable going longer on those this week, because I think the top tier guys, it's going to be a little bit easier for them to make cuts and find top 40. So I'm fine with the plus 125 on Tiger to top 40. I'm not sure what your make the cut number is, but I'd be fine with that. I'd be very surprised if Eldrick is not playing weekend golf here.
All right, so let's look at some players that you like. And I know that we'd mentioned at the top, hey, we're going to keep going back to the well. And once again, to look at formulaically, Ryan and I have similar ways that we build our cards, albeit Ryan has his own unique standpoint. And I sort of take what I like of what he says and put it in my card. I'm very matchups heavy. I'm very more prone to play top 10s and top 20s than I do outright. So when we say that we like someone, sit there and say, all right, do I want outright, top 10, top 20, or matchup? What's on your mind for who you like this week?
Well, I'll start with kind of the things I'm looking and focusing on this week. It's a weird, it's a unique setup. We only have 2 par 5s. We only have 2 par 3s. So we have 14 par 4s. And again, some of them are relatively short. And again, we're going to have this rollout situation where we're going to have some really scorable par 4. So I'm looking at par 4 scoring as a massive piece this week, leaning to driving distance as an edge. And then also, because we have these green complexes that are almost double your standard tour event, because they're shared greens, which is, again, very unique. This is the home of golf. So, like, you'll have different flag colors to indicate this is, like, hole 1 and hole 18. But literally, like, you can land on the green for, like, the 18th right by that pin and leave yourself a 65, 70-foot putt. So 3-putt avoidance becomes really key here, too. lag putting is something that we need to look at. So I'm really starting out with kind of those three metrics in mind to kind of build off of. And some folks are worried about what happened in Scotland last week, worried about the back injury where he pulled out. Justin Thomas is available at 22-1 in some spots. And I just, he is almost an auto bet for me north of 20. Again, if we're getting into a spot where distance matters, streaky putting, again, because of the distance in these par fours, you're going to have a lot of wedge and less than wedge, a lot of like 125 to 75 yards on approach. There is absolutely no one better in the world than Justin Thomas with a small wedge in his hand. So JT, T20, I think MGM has him at minus 125. I love MGM because they pay top 20. Basically, they pay all their finishing positions in ties. You don't have to worry about dead heat rules. So I know there's some like better numbers per se out there, but you can get that chopped and you can be losing money theoretically. So I always lean on MGM. It's the book that I have that pays out ties. If you like outrights, JT at 20 is my favorite play at the top of the board. I absolutely love Rory, to your point, Rob, but like I can't get there. Does he have twice the win equity of Justin Thomas? I can't believe that he does. And then you're getting me to pay basically even money at plus 100 for him to top 10. That's really steep. So maybe there's some matchups that I can look at, maybe against John Rahm, who's really struggling actually with short irons. The lag putting has not been great as of late. So maybe Rory in a head-to-head against Rahm, but otherwise Rory is kind of off the card, which is somewhat terrifying.
One player, so you mentioned the par fours and the three-putt avoidance. Well, Tony Finau has been phenomenal in both of those areas. Tony Finau, fourth in strokes gained on par fours over the last 24 rounds, and number one for three-putt avoidance. So I am going to be having, as I always do, probably some top 20 Tony Finau, and definitely in some matchups. Another player that you and I have gone to the well a few different times on that is also going to be part of my card is Cam Smith. He's another one who's very good on strokes gained in approach. Thoughts on Cam Smith?
Yeah, Cam Smith, this is a place because there are, like, again, shared fairways at times too, where you can land a plane on some of these bad boys. And that is kind of the only bugaboo in Cam Smith's game. He does have that wizardry, which at times has been kind of why I haven't bet him over the last handful of years. But he's made a lot of statistical gains, especially on his approach game. A lot of times he would just get it done with just incredible scrambling around the green stuff and with a really hot putter. Those aren't statistically sticky statistics, so they're a little harder to lean on. But we've seen more consistency through his game. But again, a tremendous putter, as you talked about. Again, he pops in that proximity from a low standpoint too. So if we're looking from 125 yards and in, Cam Smith is ranging out top six for me over the last 36 rounds. So again, less egregious off the tee here because he's probably not going to be punished because of just the layout of this course. Again, you can find the berm, you can find the fescue and get yourself in trouble. But again, I think he is kind of priced into that too, where you're, that risk is a little bit willing to take because he's, you know, 28-1. What did I find him? Pretty nice top 10 on him as well. So yeah, he's going to be definitely on the card this week in a big way.
All right. One of the things that when building a sports betting mindset, and we very much talk about this in football, but I think it's applicable in golf, is that when you get burned 1 week, that's very easy for us to get gun shy for the following week. And looking at the Open, I got burned by Shane Lowry. Really liked him, and it did not come through. Here we come through with this Open, and I'm looking at Shane Lowry again, and he's someone who looks like, all right, odds are favorable for us in the grand scheme of things. He's not one of the top three favorites right there. Looks like this should be a course that plays well to him. Looks like he's someone who could be able to shoot low. What are your thoughts on someone who is, you're going back to the well after they burned you, and do you have anyone that has burned you in a past major that you may be looking forward to playing this week?
Well, I mean, Tony Finau is a guy, if you ever bet Tony Finau to win, he's probably burned you quite often because he's, you know, he's basically Will Zalatoris, like we talked about. He is a consistent top five, top 10 machine. But if you're just betting him to straight outright, you've probably had a lot of tough Tony Finau week. So I think that that's, you know, I understand that premise, but I think you have to be able to separate yourself from that. Like I bet JT last week at 14 in the Scottish Open. He didn't even make the cut. I'm not going to blink to go back to him this week at 22. So no problem with that. Finau is definitely one of those guys. you brought up Lowry. There's a lot of reasons to like Shane Lowry here. Obviously, he's won the Open Championship before. If the weather gets wonky and it gets sideways and this becomes a win fest, that was the Open Championship that Lowry won. If it stays crisp and clean and it's going to be a wedge fest, Lowry can compete in that too. So he's kind of covering all your bases. I like him to top 10. I got him at plus 200 on MGM to top 10. Basically, guys that I'm considering that just fall short of making any outright bets, I'll sprinkle some top 10s. I typically will cover my outrights and bet them top 20 just to cover and give myself some more outs. That way I can just kind of maximize the payment on some guys that I didn't go to the top of the board on. So Lowry definitely classifies similar to Cam Smith for that for me. So Lowry should definitely be in consideration in matchups or in finishing position bets.
So one of my favorite things is talking with you about the players that we are going to fade, because I immediately then go to the matchups market and say, hey, where can I fade them? And at the same time, if I'm fortunate, then some of the players that we like are also going up against the players that we are fading. And I think this is something that you can talk about who you do not like and you can still make some money. Who are you fading this week?
Rahm is a guy that I'm going to fade this week. I think you should be able to get some matchups, especially with Rory. Rory, again, the guy that I want to get exposure to, that I think some of the other numbers are prohibitive for me to do that. So I think Rahm is a guy that you can do that with. Just the around the green stuff for the most of the season has been pretty bad. Not great with the wedge. I have him 131st in this field over the last 36 rounds from proximity of 100 to 125 yards. It's just not good enough, especially when the putting has not been great either. So the short game has been kind of his bugaboo a little bit. Patrick Cantlay makes me a little nervous. I know that folks, I think I've seen a lot of people on him this week. Again, some folks go into the narrative that he's really struggled historically in majors. That's not something that I weigh very heavily. I just think the three-putt avoidance has been a problem. And the same thing, he's also not very good with a small wedge in his hand. I think that can be problematic this week as well. And the other stuff hasn't been great. So it's not like he's just been nails with approach or ball striking, or that he's just this elite distance guy. You know, he's just really good at a lot of things. But some of the things that were part of his drive last year, made him very successful, have not really been there this year. So those are some of the guys at the top of the board. And a couple of live guys that I think are fairly popular. I don't know that Dustin Johnson is going to be very popular, but I just think Dustin Johnson is maybe not quite as good as he used to be. And it's not really about the live thing anymore. I don't want to get into any narratives around like his focus or anything like that. We just haven't seen a lot of really good golf from DJ over the last calendar year. I can go back to maybe the match play in Austin where he played really well for a couple of rounds and then just kind of stumbled at Augusta. And we really haven't seen much from him since. And I think Louis is going to be very popular. And because of Louis's track record at the Open Championship and here at St. Andrews, you're going to have some probably upper class guys matched up with Louis in the betting market, which is somewhere that I probably look to fade. I know he's played okay on the LIV Tour, but I'm just not necessarily buying it. Again, distance isn't great. And some of the stuff that Louis has done fairly well over the last calendar year, really since he fared, kind of fell to the side of the U.S. Open last year. He's kind of just, it's been a little statistically noisy. It's been a lot of scrambling stuff and stuff that I don't really like to lean on. So kind of fading DJ and Louis.
Are you going to have any exposure to Jordan Spieth? Because I'm just as likely to say he's going to win it all as he would miss a cut. Like literally there's nothing that he would do at any round at any tournament ever that I wouldn't believe is possible. But he is someone who we know how good he can be. And really, I always think about him and Justin Thomas as the same golfer, except Jordan Spieth to me seems to have a higher variance.
Yeah, I get that. I think that, we see some fairly streaky putting from both guys. I think Spieth has added some distance this year. That's got him closer to JT. I still think JT consistently is just kind of a class above from a, approach standpoint, ball striking standpoint. Spieth is that guy though. Like you said, like the range of outcomes is fairly massive. Maybe it isn't, but like if he is just to kind of blow up and have a terrible round, that wouldn't shock me. He seems to love links golf and it kind of backs it up. I'm trying to find ways to get him. It might be a top 10 bet because he's not making the outright card, but he is terrifying because a lot of the things that I want this week, par four scoring, T tee to green overall, proximity that, you know, close to the hole, birdies are better opportunities. Like, he puts himself in position to give himself those opportunities. Now, the three putt avoidance is a problem for Jordan. And we know the lag putting is really good, but sometimes he gets the yips on some of the short stuff, similar to our boy Zalatoris, who's actually a terrific three putt guy, partially because he sticks it so close on the approach shot that he basically only leaves himself that makeable one putt and then has to tap in. But yeah, Spieth is terrifying. I haven't made a decision on what to do with him, but if he goes and wins this week, I would be not surprised one bit. And I know my guy, Ron, PGA Splits 101 over at Betsports Golf, is on him to win in a big way this week.
So, doing a quick recap of what my card is going to look like, I'm going to have some Will Zalatoris, some Tony Finau, some Shane Lowry, some Cam Smith. I'm going to also jump on board with your JT if I can get him in some matchups. I'm going to fade John Rahm. I'm going to fade Cantlay. I'm going to fade DJ. I'm going to fade Louis. Anything else that you want to add?
Yeah, I'll rattle off a couple like I like to do with here at the end. Sam Burns is a guy that I love. He does everything well that I want him to do this week. If this gets into a spot where the wins are not a problem, Sam Burns from the elites, he's probably the best putter. You can make the case he's definitely a top five putter in this top tier of guys. So if this gets into a spot where these guys are able to stripe at 350, 375 and make some putts, I want Sammy Burns on my side. Max Homa is a guy that I will just continue to lean on. He is made massive improvements. He's actually, from a strokes gain standpoint, this is his best year of his career in every single strokes gain bucket, putting, around the green, approach, and off the tee. He has just made massive strides. He was on the wrong side of the weather wave last week at the Scottish Open, still played terrific golf. Love what's going on with Max Homa. I know some folks are worried that he is now paired with Tiger, so they're a little concerned that he's going to be caught up in the, you know, all that comes with walking on Thursday and Friday with Tiger. But I think Max Homa is a guy that kind of feels like he belongs in that tier. His golf game is there to back it up. Hideki Matsuyama is another guy that's played very sparingly over the last couple of months. Did not play very well last week. But again, when I think of what I want to win here, Hideki checks a lot of boxes. He is down the board 55-1 to win, which is way too long of a number. He's basically 2-1 in some spots, the top 20. I think you get a better number than that, even in some spots. So someone to look at. And Mark Leishman, I think that there is a little bit, you hear some corollary between Augusta, some of the, again, the big greens, some of the fast greens that we have, and some of the same build outs. A lot of guys, when you look at past champions here, there have been some guys that have fared very well at Augusta before. Leishman way down the board. You can get him at 125 to win the entire thing. You probably get some nice matchup numbers for your Rob down there against some other guys that are not necessarily in his class. And he's been talking about this place. He was second here last time out to Zach Johnson. And he's been talking about this for like 3 months, about how he's just trying to get his game right for when he's back at St. Andrews, because he feels like he left something out there. So again, that's a little narrative based, but I feel like this guy is ready this week. And way down the board, probably worth a matchup look.
Sign me up for Sam Burns and Max Homa. We've been on them virtually every single major. I'm going to keep going to the well with you. Ryan, love chatting with you. Where can everybody connect?
On Twitter, at Ryan Noonan. Betsports Golf is, we just launched today, a brand new customizable search tool that is free for you to play with. It's in beta mode. We're already working on version 2. Would love for you to get over there, break it, find out what's not working, find out if it could be part of your process moving forward. If you like it, the content is available for now. We started our swing season deal early, $1 per month from now until December at betsportsgolf.com. You get access to our Discord, every pick that everyone makes that's on the team, all the premium articles, all the tools that are on the site for just $1 a month, all the way until 2023. So really excited about that.
And I want to hear from you. Give me one player that you like and one player that you want to fade. You can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot, too
say I got more juice than Tupac.